I didn't know Ariel could play the guitar that well, but she is jamming in there right now. Hi, this is Matt Crow from the KFYO News Team. I'm subbing for Chad Hasty today. Chad's off on vacation, he deserves it, of course. But, you know, I've got a guy on the line now from Washington, D.C., who, if you were going to run for office, either a Senate office for Senate or Congress or a gubernatorial campaign, you'd be lucky to get your hands on this guy. His name's Brian Walsh. And Brian, been on the Hill a long time, and you'll see him on Fox. I think I've seen him on MSNBC, too. But Brian is the type of person who wins elections. And the way he does that is he takes the best parts of a candidate and packages them, markets the candidate properly. But it's not all about marketing and packaging. And Brian could tell you probably a lot of stories about the strategy and tactics. But Brian, when it comes right down to it with candidates for office, isn't it their honesty and integrity? I mean, doesn't that normally win the day with people have a trust in the candidate?
Absolutely, and good to be with you. Thanks for having me on. I think a lot of people are sick of politics as usual in Washington, and they want a person who's going to talk to them straight and that they can trust. And I think that really matters.
Now, you worked. You were a long time. You were John Cornyn's comms director, his chief communication strategist, and now Cornyn, of course, is running for re-election. Just for people out in West Texas out here, how do you see his chances? No problems? Is he going to sail right through to reelect? What do you think?
Well, I do. I think he's in a great position. I think one thing that I really respect about Senator Cornyn, I worked for him for, Lord, almost about 8 years, mm-hmm. and there are you're hard pressed to find a more decent, just good person. For I'm Capitol Hill than Senator Cornyn.
I frankly think it's unusual too, having worked on the Hill myself, that a lot of people, not me and not you, but after working for a member for that long, you're still friends with him. You still talk to him. I know a lot of people on the Hill who've worked for members, and I never want to see that guy again. I never want to talk to that woman again. But Cornyn seems like a genuinely nice guy.
No, you know what? I've worked for a few of them in the past.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And folks know who those, you know, people on Capitol Hill know who those folks are, and even folks who don't work for Senator Cornyn. I mean, what you see is what you get with him. He is as genial and and honest in private as he is in public. He's just a very good person. I was honored to work for him. I think he's in a very good spot. But, you know, look, he also, what I also respect is, as a Republican of a state as Texas is, you know, he's someone who's not taking his reelection for granted. He's put together a top-flight team. He's raised a lot of money. You know, he had the second most conservative voting record in the U.S. Senate last year. Mm-hmm. So he's representing Texas values. But again, he's not taking anything for granted, because I think regardless of what party you're in, whatever state you're running in, if you start to take your job for granted and forget who you work for, it's going to catch up to you. So,
well, I'm no expert. I'm no expert on Cornyn. I worked on the House side. You were over in the varsity team over on the Senate side, where the food's better and the offices are nicer, and you guys dress better than we did on the House side. And I think you guys were at Brooks Brothers, and we were down at, I don't know, Joe Banks or something like that. But you always got the best. You always got the best of things on the Senate side. Talking about the Senate and Cruz, he was just in Iowa, and I think he's bird hunting with Peter King today, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he talked at the Reagan dinner in Iowa last night, or night before last. I think it was last night. And Cruz seems to be positioning himself for a run in 16. And I know that's not going to come as any surprise of that idea. But what do you think of it from a tactical and strategic perspective? I mean, with the debacle that Obamacare, the rollout's been, and I'm talking two different lanes here, but number one, let me ask you, can Republicans in 14 in the midterm elections use what's happening right now with the rollout to their advantage, or is that going to be so far in people's rearview mirror it's not even going to be funny? And then secondly, give me your take on Ted Cruz as a possible 16 candidate.
Yeah, well, let me start with, I guess, the second question first, and I have a lot of respect for Senator Cruz. Actually, two of his more senior staffers, we used to work for Senator Cornyn, his chief of staff and his state director. I worked with in Senator Cornyn's office, and I was glad to see Senator Cruz hire them. He's put together a top-flight team. And look, he's clearly connecting with Republican primary voters. I think, you know, we're a long way off, but I think in terms of looking at the field, that he certainly has to be considered a front runner. With regard to the first question, I continue to believe Obamacare is going to be one of the defining issues in next year's campaign. I was a little disappointed. I mean, I think we all agree with the idea that we need to get rid of Obamacare, repeal it. I felt we stepped on our message a little bit by allowing the shutdown to overtake the story about what a disaster Obamacare is, and particularly the rollout. I do feel we're getting back on offense, though, and I think the media has really tried to focus on Republican infighting, but the reality is Republicans have a great opportunity to win back control of the Senate next year, and a lot of the states we're competing in were actually won by Mitt Romney that are currently held by Democratic senators, and I'll tell you, they're going to have a very hard time explaining. If you can't get a website right, how in the world do you expect people to trust that you can, you know, that you can manage our healthcare system? It's really been a disaster.
Yeah, it's scary. 1-800-687-0790. It's 800-687-0790. Locally, 770-5790 here in Lubbock, Texas. Talking to Brian Walsh, who's one of the D.C.'s premier political strategists. You know, Brian, I'm not tired of the guy because I'm a transplanted down here to Texas, and I always liked Rick Perry. I always thought the guy reminded me of Ronald Reagan, and I'm going to admit something to listeners on the air. Governor Perry and I share the same birthday. Not the same year, but the same birth date. And we're also both Eagle Scouts. And I've met Perry, and I got to tell you something. I like the guy. I like the way he talks. I like the way he looks. I like his policies. I know people in Texas have had him for a governor for a long, long, long time, and I know there's a burnout factor here. But what do you think about Perry should he decide to run again? Do you think he can come back from, you know, his little hiccup he had during the debates and so forth? Do you think Perry could be a viable candidate?
I do. I'm an Eagle fan myself, and I have long been an admirer of Rick Perry, and I felt in some ways he got a little bit of a bad rap from the D.C. media. You know, as one of the things you probably know, having worked in Washington and being down in Texas, there's a huge disconnect between how folks in Washington and particularly the national media view Senator Cornyn. They would always say to Senator Cornyn, oh, you know, you're so conservative. He's like, well, I'm conservative. I'm from Texas, though. Yeah. This is how we are. You know, this isn't the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
I'm going to go you one further than that, though. Yes, people in Texas are conservative, but you know what? Texans are just very realistic, down-to-earth people, and they believe in right and wrong and a fair shake for people. They don't want the government on their backs. They want a strong border. They want a strong defense. But at the end of the day, they just want a good job, and they want their kids to go to school, and they don't want to pay a heck of a lot of income taxes. And, you know, but I agree with you. I don't think Rick Perry, he started to get popular there when he was running against Romney. He got on the cover of Time magazine. He became the flavor of the month, and, you know, undoubtedly he's a good-looking guy and mediagenic and so forth. He has a nice-looking family. And then he made the mistake, and then the media just turned around and did a hatchet job on him. And I'm just wondering, does he have the capacity to get back up on, you know, the mat and wrestle through a primary?
I believe he does, but you know, I think there's going to be a lot of folks looking at this race, and I think it's really wide open right now. I mean, you're seeing folks on all sides from, you know, I think Bobby Jindal, the governor from Louisiana, Chris Christie in New Jersey, obviously Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio from Florida, Rand Paul from Kentucky. So there's a lot of folks out there.
Would you put those people in the top tier, the number one Republican candidates at this point?
To varying degrees, I would.
Any women out there, any women governor, any women members of the House or Senate you think possibly might be running?
You never know. It's hard to tell this far out. I know Susana Martinez from New Mexico has someone who's garnered a great deal of positive attention. But I think it's just very wide open right now. That's why I think you see folks like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul traveling out to Iowa and up to New Hampshire and just introducing themselves to voters. It's a very, both states really are retail politics. People want to get to know you. And so I think that's where you see some of these folks starting to lay some initial groundwork. Whether they ultimately decide to run or not, it's a smart thing to do.
Do you think there could ever be a Cruz-Rubio ticket? That'd be two Hispanics. Florida and Texas bookended there. Huge electoral vote totals.
I think, yeah, that would be. I'm not sure who would of the two of them would want
to flip
the,
a quarter. I guess
because I think they both have their eye on the top prize. But I think, look, you know, we have to be realistic as Republicans. So the electorate is changing. You know, Mitt Romney won a higher percentage of the white vote than George Bush did. And if the election had been held in 2004, Mitt Romney would have won. The problem is, you know, the Hispanic votes, Asian American, African American, they're all becoming increasingly larger parts of the electorate, particularly Hispanics, which is why, it's good policy and good politics, though, that I think Republicans do need to be looking at securing our borders and passing some type of immigration reform.
Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier on the show, that immigration reform could be the next speed bump for the Republicans. 1-800-687-0790. That's our 800 number, and then locally 770-5790. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lady who you all might remember, who was married to, who is still married to a former president, and what her chances are of in the next presidential election. We'll come back with Brian Walsh in a minute. And good afternoon, everybody. We're back on the Chad Hastie Show, the Saturday edition. I'm Matt Crowe over from the KFYO News Desk. And I've got on the line Brian Walsh from Singer Bongean Strategies up in Washington, D.C. They're one of D.C.'s premier political consulting firms, crisis communications firms, strategic communications firms. And Brian, who's got years and years of experience working on the Hill in political campaigns and both in the legislative side of things and the executive branch side of things, has a unique perspective, Singer Bongean Strategies. And I guess when you all take on political clients, Brian, you know, it's interesting. Do you find most candidates have a realistic perspective of their election chances, or do they not have a realistic? I mean, what's been your kind of experience with that? I mean, well, I know you don't want to talk anybody out of hiring you, but at the same time, yeah, you want to be honest with people, right?
Well, you know, I've seen it on both sides. You know, for the last 4 years, I mean, I just entered the private sector this year, but for the last 4 years, Senator Cornyn was chairman of what's called the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is the political arm of the Republican Party that oversees Senate elections, and I was there working with him. 2010, we had a great year. We won seven seats. Obviously, had a little some setbacks the last cycle, but you know, look, we've seen a lot of good candidates. You know, Senator Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire, I think, is a rising star. One of the unfortunate things, though, is I do believe, you know, the Republican Party effectively, you know, gave away five Senate seats the last two cycles from candidates who, frankly, probably shouldn't have run because they weren't capable of winning the general election. I'm thinking, like, you know, Christine O'Donnell, who ran in Delaware a couple of years ago.
Right.
I've seen the highs and lows, good and the bad.
What a disaster that was.
There are a lot of good people who run for public office, and, you know, I have admiration for anyone who's willing to put their name out there, because, you know, it's, you put yourself through a lot of scrutiny, and it's not easy. So I have a lot of respect for that.
Let me ask you how you're going to handicap the Democratic, the possible candidates for president from the Democrat side in 16. You've got Cuomo, you've got Joe Biden, you've got Martin O'Malley, and then you've got the big one, Hillary Clinton. Now, I know this isn't popular in West Texas when I say this, but I do honestly believe that Hillary Clinton is going to get the Democratic nomination for president. She is going to outraise the amount of money that Barack Obama raised in his reelect. She's going to do a deal with Obama, probably promise him a Supreme Court seat. So when president leaves office, he can look forward to a seat on the Supreme Court. I don't see how Hillary Clinton is beatable. Do you see any path to a Republican beating Hillary Clinton?
Well, I guess I would offer two points. One, I agree with you that I think she is the overwhelming favorite right now. That being said, she was also the overwhelming favorite, you know, back in 2007 too, before, you know, Barack Obama really came on gain steam. But I do believe that she is the favorite. Look, but I think the Republican argument is this will be, if she is elected, it will be a third term for President Obama and his big government policies. I do think, though, Republicans need to become more unified. I believe we will. I think 3 years is a lifetime in politics, so I think the Obamacare is going to be devastating for job growth, and I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here. As this bill starts to become implemented, premiums are going up, small businesses are having to get rid of their health insurance plans, and whether it's Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden, someone's going to have to be accountable for that when they're running for the next term.
Well, and Hillary had her own health care debacle a few years ago when she was first lady, and the catastrophic health care plan. But right now, your estimation of the Obamacare and the rollout and so forth and the job busting it's going to cause will be a campaign issue in the midterm elections. You see Republicans running on that?
I think it's going to be a huge issue. The difference between last cycle and this cycle is that, last cycle, Obamacare, it was unpopular, but I don't think since it hadn't been implemented, there was no sort of tangible effects. You know, look, I'm a small business owner. I got a letter in the mail the other day. I live in Virginia, and states across the country, people are getting these letters. I got a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield letting me know that my health plan was being canceled because it was not compliant with the Health Care Act. And thousands of people are getting those types of letters. And everyone remembers President Obama said, if you have your health care plan, nothing will change. Well, it's changing for hundreds of thousands of people. And I think there's going to be a big backlash in the months ahead. But that's where Republicans need to keep the focus on. And we also need to be telling people what we're for, though. I think we need to be careful about not just saying, here's what we're against.
Mm-hmm. Which is a mistake we always make, it seems like. Yeah.
It does, and we need to be offering our own positive vision. Here's how, if we were to regain the majority in the Senate, here's how we would create jobs. Here is how we would implement health care reforms in a way that would be positive for economy and not a negative, which is what Obamacare is proving to be. So I think there's a balancing act, but I do believe senators like Mary Landrieu in Louisiana or Mark Pryor in Arkansas running in red states, they're going to have their hands full explaining why they voted for this bill that clearly is having a lot of negative consequences, and we're just starting here.
You mentioned Virginia. Ken Cuccinelli, who is the Attorney General for the state of Virginia, who is trying to follow up on Bob McDonnell's term as a Republican governor of Virginia, he's run into some tough sledding here lately. Virginia, I want to say, I think Texan politicians would be smart to look at Virginia and see what's happening in Virginia. I mean, we've got Wendy Davis, who's going to run against Greg Abbott and so forth, and that seems to be a fairly narrow chance that Wendy could defeat Abbott. But at the same time, I would have thought that Cuccinelli in Virginia, red state, slowly becoming purple, unfortunately, like some parts of Texas. What's the lesson to be learned right now from Cuccinelli's campaign? Because he seems to be, he's lost it on the curve there.
Well, he has. It's not looking good right now. Look, he's caught a few bad breaks. I don't think that, particularly in a state like Virginia, especially in Northern Virginia, which is the key battleground, there are thousands of federal workers there, people who have some relation, and there's no question that the shutdown did hurt. Bob McDonnell has been tied up in some ethics issues that have unfortunately filtered down to Cuccinelli, even though he didn't do anything wrong. So there's been a few bad breaks. But look, I think Democrats have also been very effective at targeting particularly female suburban voters. Mm-hmm. And I think Republicans are most successful, which I realize not everyone agrees with this, but Republicans are successful when we focus on fiscal issues, when we talk about jobs and the economy and lower taxes and less regulation. And when we start to wade into the social debate, which is what Democrats want, particularly among moderate Democratic women, the Democrats, because I saw this in the Senate race in Virginia last year, which we lost, they run ads scaring women and scaring seniors, and unfortunately it tends to work. We need to keep, in purple states, I think Virginia is seeing a lot of change, particularly Northern Virginia, and is morphing from a red state to a purple state. And we need to focus on job growth, less regulation, less taxes, keeping government out of our lives, and not sort of taking the bait and wading into some of the social aspects, which are not popular among moderate female voters.
Brian, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and I'm going to let you go here in just under a minute. But does Greg Abbott have anything to worry about from Wendy Davis?
I don't believe so. And it's funny, you know, Wendy, it's funny hearing some of the national reporters in Washington and New York talk about Wendy Davis as this will be some major battle. Look, Texas is a solidly red state. She's very liberal, and she may be popular among the chattering class in Washington, but Greg Abbott is going to run a very good campaign, and he will defeat her.
Listen, Brian, thank you so much for being on the show today. This is Matt Crow filling in for Chad Hasty on Saturday's edition of the Chad Hasty Show. I'll be talking to you later in the week on Lubbock's First News on KFYO. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great rest of the weekend.